Well, amen. Thank you, Brandy and praise team. And we're just going to get you in the recording studio, get you a CD. Now, we really appreciate you, all of you, in your ministry. And certainly, I believe the songs are going to speak directly to what we're going to be talking about today. And so, with that in mind, I would ask you to turn in your Bibles, not to 1 Peter. Hope you enjoyed 1 Peter, by the way. Not to 1 Peter. We are done with 1 Peter. We're moving on to another series, which I'll entitled here in a second, but turn to Psalm chapter 127. Psalm 127, and we are starting a new series today, that being titled Everyday Christianity, which, as you may expect from the title, it's going to be a very practical series, at least I hope it will be, as we consider what it means to be a Christian in our everyday lives. Here's the deal. The deal is that a lot of times as Christians, we kind of ghetto God almost into a couple of hours a week. And what I mean by that, right, is that we think that Christianity is just something that we do on the weekends when we come here to gather for worship. But in reality, that's far from what the Bible tells us about what a true believer in Christ is. And listen, don't get me wrong here, because I believe in the importance of the church, and being a part of a church is something that, honestly, God commands us to do. I'll give you one scripture, Hebrews 10, 25, it tells us to never forsake the assembly of the saints. But my point is this. My point is that as believers, we should not just see this church building as the only place that we demonstrate and display our faith. Because the thing is, Jesus is not just our Savior that we worship on Sundays. He is also our Lord. And if He is our Lord, then that means everything that we say, everything that we do, everything we think, not just on Sundays, Monday through Saturday as well, is done first and foremost to honor Him, to build His kingdom and not our own. And don't miss this, because this is where the disconnect is in so many of our lives. We are to live in light of this, in light of this reality, not just here, every day we are to live in this manner. And so for the next couple of weeks, what I want to do is I want to look at two areas that I feel that most of us, okay, most of us are spending our time throughout the week. And I want us to consider in those areas, what does that mean for us as believers? How should we live in light of those two areas that we typically spend our time in throughout the week? More specifically, what I want to do for us these next few weeks is I want us to consider how we can maximize and leverage these areas of our lives to further the kingdom and God. And really through this series, I want to show you that Christianity is meant to be lived out, not just on Sundays, but every day. So would you pray with me as we begin this journey together? Father, we do thank You, God, for Your Word. God, I thank You for, God, the service that we've already had. And Father, I pray that as we approach, God, Your sacred word today, God, as we talk about areas in our lives that honestly we spend so much of our time in, God, these are the areas we need to be focusing on. And so, God, I pray that You would just help us see the importance of that. God, I pray that You would help us, God, just to be more like You in these areas. If there's areas that we need to change as it relates to what we're talking about in this series. And so, God, we thank You for this. And God, we thank You for the time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, this series, two places that we typically spend our time in outside of the church, that's going to be the focus, which means today's series, as we kick this off, is going to be focused on the family. It's going to be focused on the home. And in particular, it's going to center around all you parents out there. I'm a parent, so I get it. Okay, but I'm going to be talking mostly to all of you parents out there, because let's just be real. Let's just be honest. Parenting is something that takes up a lot of our days. Can I get an amen, right? And listen, I know by saying that, okay, I understand that by saying that, there's probably two groups of people that are like, all right, well, I'm just going to tune you out. See you next Sunday, Jeremy. And that's people who are, let's say, single. They're like, well, this is not going to apply to me, so I'll sit here and smile, but I'm not going to listen to anything you say. Or maybe it also applies to you empty nesters out there, which this would have applied to you, you would think. But now that you're older, right, none of this really matters to you, because that ship has sailed. But can I just say that this particular message, yes, it's going to be geared towards family. Yes, it's going to be geared towards parents. But I would also say this, if you are single, You need to be paying attention because at some point, more than likely, you're going to be married, which means at some point, you're probably going to have kids, and it's never too early to get ready for parenting because it's tough. Yeah, you need to be paying attention. And listen, for all you empty nesters out there, all of you who maybe are retired and you don't have any children, there is something in here for you today, because what we're going to find is this. It is not just the responsibility of parents to raise the next generation of believers, but God tells us that it is the responsibility of the Christian community in general. It is the responsibility of the church. Okay, in other words, no matter what stage of life you're in, I don't care if you're 11 or you're 111. Okay, there is a word for you here today. And I would encourage you to tune in. I would encourage you to take notes. I would always encourage you to do that, but especially as it relates to this, because we are talking about the future of our faith. We're talking about our own children and the future as they live out their own Christian faith and walk. Now, before we move on and we look at this passage of Scripture that I've asked you to turn to, let me just kind of give you one more disclaimer, and then I promise I will actually start preaching. Okay, but that's this. There is this notion out there that if you teach on a particular subject to a large group of people, kind of what I'm doing right now, then that large group of people will automatically assume that you're an expert in that particular field. Or at least they'll assume that I am an expert in this field, and I am telling you I am not when it comes to parenting. Okay, I am none of those things. For starters, I've only been a parent for a couple of years now. I think most of you know my story, me and Victoria's story. We've adopted from Thailand a couple of years ago, and we are now fostering, which is with us here today. And so I'm here to tell you I don't have much parenting under my belt, and the parenting that I do have under my belt has taught me that I don't have all of the answers, okay? So don't call me the expert. What I'm trying to say is that when I get up here behind this pulpit every Sunday, I don't try to be the expert. I want to let the Word of God be the expert. My job is just to communicate what I believe it says, and I hope I can do that for you today. And just please understand this morning that every instruction I give, every exhortation or insight I give, it's flowing first out of the Word of God, not the word of Brother Jeremy. I am not the expert here. God certainly is, though, and He has a word for us. Okay? With that in mind, let's look at our passage today. Psalm 127. We're going to draw out some principles here, but let's read out the psalm first, and then we'll talk about the principles as it relates to the family, and in particular, parenting is what the focus will be on today. Psalm 127, it says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. Children are indeed a heritage from the Lord." And by the way, the word children in Hebrew is very similar to the word builder that you see in verse 1. And so what you're seeing is a correlation between the word children and the builders of the city. That's very important to point out. Okay, again, verse 3. "Children are indeed a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has filled his quiver with them. They will never be put to shame when they speak with their enemy at the city gate." Now, within this psalm, as I've looked over this psalm as it relates to the family, I've found four principles or truths, however you want to say that. And so for the rest of our time together this morning, I want to walk you through what those principles, what those truths are as it relates to the family, and again, in particular, parenting. Okay, so if you got notes, jot these down. The first one is this. First one, love is not enough. Love is not enough. You see, many parents have what has sometimes been called, adopted as the Beatles philosophy of parenting, which for all you young people out there who have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm talking about the famous band, right? The Beatles that sang a very famous song called "All You Need Is Love." Who wants to just sing it out right now, right? I'm picking. But the basic idea of this philosophy of parenting is that if you love people enough, especially if you love your children enough, then just everything else, it's all going to work out in the end. And your family's going to be great. And that's certainly what most of the world would teach us. But can I just point out in a very loving way that I know a lot of parents who love their children off the charts. They're terrible parents. And their children end up reflecting that. Now listen, I'm not trying to downplay love here, because I believe that you have to have, in order for a family, right, to thrive and be what God wants it to be, then love must be a major component of that. And I'm not taking away that at all. But what I am saying is that love in of itself, when it comes to parenting, is not enough. It's not enough. After all, look at what verse 1 teaches us again. Look at what it says. It says, unless who? Unless love? Unless love builds a house? Unless the Lord. Unless the Lord builds a house. Your family is what it's talking about here. It's builders labor over it in vain. In other words, in order for a family to thrive, in order for it to endure the way that God has designed the family to, then the house must not just be built on love, but on the everlasting and eternal Word of God. Or to put it another way for you, not only does the family need the heart of God, that being love, but it also needs the mind of God, which comes from His Word, which comes from His instruction that He gives us about parenting in the Scriptures. Because according to this verse, according to this passage, all other methods out there are done in vain. And so parents, let me just ask you some pointed questions, and let me just kind of give you a fair warning. There's going to be a lot of them today, and I'm asking myself these things too. I've been preaching to myself all week. But just be honest, have you taken this seriously? I mean, have you honestly taken this seriously? Have you honestly set out to learn God's instructions, God's commands as it relates to how you should be raising your child? Men, let me just point you out and just talk to you here for a moment, if you'll let me, because listen, the Bible makes it very clear that the man is the spiritual leader of the home, and that he is the leader in every single way, spiritually speaking. Yet, when was the last time? When was the last time you led your family in prayer outside of the dinner table? When was the last time you had a devotional with one of your children? When was the last time you openly had a conversation with your child about the importance of the Christian faith? When was the last time you truly modeled what that looks like in your own lives? You see, while you may show initiative in your job, you may show initiative in your stock portfolios, and listen, you may even show initiative in college football on Saturdays and the NFL today. I'm worried that for some of you here today, for some of you watching online, you show no initiative in leading your family, especially when it comes to spiritual things. And listen, you may say, hold on, Jeremy. Listen, I love them in so many ways. I love them financially supporting them. I shower them with gifts. I try to attend their ball games. And listen, that's great. That is so great. And I'm not taking away from that either. But what I'm here to tell you today, that if you truly love your child, then the greatest thing that you can do for them is by intentionally raising them to be a man or woman of God. Because what does it matter? What does it matter if they get to wear all the nice clothes, if they get to drive all the fancy cars and start on the ball team, if they end up losing their soul? And what does all of that matter? Loving our kids is not enough. Loving our kids the way that the world tells us to love our kids, it's not in and of itself bad, but I'm just saying it's not enough. And if we want to raise our kids in the way that God calls us to honor how He would want us to do those things, then according to this psalm, we must place ourselves under His leadership, under His authority, under His instruction. Again, it's found in the Word of God. Secondly, this passage of Scripture teaches us that our greatest assignment is to teach the next generation the gospel. Our greatest assignment, there's a lot of great assignments out there, but I'm here to tell you, the greatest one that each of you have is to teach the next generation the gospel. We'll come back to verse 2 in a moment. But for now, look at verse 3. I believe it helps us to draw this principle out. Again, it says, children are indeed a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward. Now, I want you to key in on that word heritage for a moment. In fact, just underline it if that's what you do with your Bible, because a heritage, listen to this, a heritage can be understood as an inheritance. Okay, a heritage is more or less the same thing as an inheritance. In fact, some of your translations may actually use the word inheritance there, and honestly, I kind of prefer that because I think that's what this is talking about. Listen, that's a very important concept to understand, because during the Old Testament times, when this psalm was originally written, the heritage and inheritance was the eternal kingdom that God was doing or was going to build and establish through His people. And get this, our children today are the first ones that we're going to win over, that will make up our eternal heritage, that will make up our eternal inheritance that God is giving to us today. Just think about that for a moment. That's very profound. The heritage and inheritance is God's eternal kingdom, right? And God's eternal kingdom, it consists, it's made up of people. Therefore, our children are the first one that God has given us to reach, because that furthers God's kingdom, which again represents our eternal heritage and inheritance. You follow me? In other words, our children are what God has given us to leave behind, to win future generations and parents. What that means, is that our greatest responsibility is to teach our children the gospel. It is to bring them into this Christian heritage and inheritance that we're experiencing, and then it is to equip them to teach it to others so that we might win future generations over as well through our own children. Now, you might say, hold up, Jeremy, isn't that the role of the church? I mean, after all, that's what the church is for, right? It's just to enlighten and instruct our children and to train them up. Well, yes, to a certain degree it is. I certainly want to be a church that does that. And we'll get into that more in a moment. But listen, did you know? Did you know that in an average year, 2020 is not an average year, so don't use 2020, but in an average year, your child will spend 156 hours at church. And listen, that's only if they come to every single thing, like Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Probably only the deacon's kids and the pastor kids are doing that, right? I'm picking. Listen to that, though. 156 hours a year. Yet on average, they're going to spend 8,736 waking hours with you at home. I mean, just compare that. Let that sink in for a moment, because even if your child participated in every church activity here this year, even if I awarded them perfect attendance, say, great, you were here every single time the doors were open, it would be a drop in the bucket in comparison to the time that you get to spend with them at home. Parents, what that means is that your child's primary spiritual leader and disciple maker, it's not their Sunday school teacher. It's not their midweek teacher. It's not their discipleship training leader. And get this, it's not even me. It's not even me. No, your child's primary spiritual leader and disciple maker is you. Is you. Because the home is where God has designed the gospel, not only to be taught, though it should be taught, but also to be lived out. And that's the most effective way to win your child for Christ, when you truly display what that looks like to them. And so again, parents, let me ask you, and let's just be honest, are you actively teaching your kids the gospel at home? I mean, would they be able to articulate what that is, or are you at least having those talks, those discussions? Are you looking for opportunities to teach them about spiritual truths and principles? Yeah, you might just be playing ball one day, or you might just be riding down the road. There are times where you can actually shift the conversation towards spiritual things. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Are you doing it? Listen, just as important, are you modeling and demonstrating to them what it means to be a follower of Christ by how you treat them, by how you treat your kids, by how you treat your spouse? Are you modeling what it means to be a follower of Jesus through that? Or are you prioritizing the importance of regularly attending church so that you don't just tell them, well, you just go to church because it's important? No, you actually demonstrate and show them, I believe in this. I'm going to be here. It's important. Are you truly demonstrating that to your family, your children? Listen, parents, in large part, the reason why our young people today are leaving the church in droves when they move out of the house and when they go to college, it's not because they're lazy. It's not because they're immature. It's not because they always forget to just seem to not set their alarm clock on Sunday mornings. It's because for many of them, they didn't see the importance of it growing up. Their moms and dads, they might have claimed to be members of Fredonia Baptist Church. They might have claimed to be Christians, but they never regularly talked about their faith with them. Their parents never prioritized the importance of regularly attending church, of getting involved in the many different ministries that this church has to offer them and their child. And they certainly didn't model a lifestyle that honored God and pointed them to Christ. In other words, a half-hearted Christian leads to a half-hearted gospel. And a half-hearted gospel, it's not very compelling to a child to believe in, to follow after as they grow up and mature, as they watch their parent live this half-hearted life out. And so when they grow up, when they have the freedom, they say, what's the point? I mean, what's really the point in being involved? That's what they've been modeled. What they've been shown. Parents, our greatest responsibility is to teach our children the gospel. We must begin to take this seriously. They are the future of not only this church, but of the Christian faith. Now, let me just give you parents a break, because I know I'm talking to parents and I know that this is serious stuff. Let me just give you a break here and just look at the other side of the coin, because there is another aspect we need to consider here. Yes, parents are the primary spiritual leaders. Parents are the primary disciple makers. You need to understand that. Yet it is also, listen, it is also the responsibility of the Christian community and faith, the church. That's why when Moses was talking about the family and giving the family instruction of the commands of God in passages like Deuteronomy 6, he didn't just give those to the parents. He didn't just gather up the parents and say, all right, we're going to have a breakout session and I'm going to talk just to you parents. No, he gave it to the entire nation of Israel. And get this, while this psalm that we're studying today, it's most definitely talking about the importance of godly parenting in the family, it was actually written to the entire Christian community instead. And listen, the reason I know that to be true is because of a really kind of small detail that's truthfully kind of hidden. In this psalm, I had to do some digging just to discover it myself. But I want to point it out to you, because it's going to show you that this is not just to parents, it's to the entire Christian faith. Let me show you. Look at your Bibles. I hope you brought your Bibles. Hey, look at your Bibles. It's not going to be on the screen, so don't look at the screen because you're going to be let down. If you have your Bible, look at it, okay? Do you see where it says, even before verse 1 begins, where it says, a song of ascents? You see that? Can you just nod your head so I'm like not crazy? Okay, you're nodding your head. You see where it says, a song of a sense. If you do, and again, if you're one to maybe underline things in your Bible, underline that where it says a song of a sense. Because again, this is going to point to not just being parents, but talking to the entire faith. Let me just sort of explain what's happening here and why I'm pointing that out. When the Jewish people, they would always gather together and have a pilgrimage to go to Jerusalem every year. It was just kind of what they did. They did this every year. They would all do that, but they would actually all gather together at the latter part of their journey, right before they get into Jerusalem at the bottom of a hill that they would have had to have climbed, because after they climbed this hill, they would have actually entered into the city of Jerusalem itself. Okay, and the reason that I point that out to you is because when they gathered together and as they were ascending, that's a key word, as they were ascending up this hill together, they would have walked hand in hand and they would have sang the songs of ascents. What I just told you to underline, they were singing, literally singing these songs, which as you see in your Bible, I don't know if you've looked here, but there's actually quite a few of them. I try to do the math. I'm really bad at math. I think it was like 15 Okay, so apparently it was a really big hill, but they just imagine that they're walking hand in hand up this hill together, and they're literally singing the songs that are found in the book of Psalms. But listen, the reason that I point that out to you is because when they got to Psalm 127, they didn't say, "All right, parents, you sing this one a cappella, just you." No, they all sang this psalm. Why? Because they realized that the next generation of believers, it was not just the responsibility of parents, but that it was all of their responsibilities as part of the Christian community and faith. Church, what that should teach us, listen, what that should teach us is that we need to rid ourselves of this idea that parents are the only ones that are supposed to raise our child, because that's not true. That's actually not biblical. Because we are a church. And not only are we a church, we are what? A church family. A church family, which means as a church family, we need to stay actively engaged in helping the parents of this church raise up their child so that one day that child might know the things of God and be a man or woman of God as a result. See, what this means is that if you're single here today, if you're an empty nester today, if you're retired and you don't have any children living with you today, you still have a role in this. You still have a role in raising up and equipping the next generation of believers. And listen, just to be very practical with you here, what that means is that you need to be looking for opportunities to serve in the nursery. That nursery represents the next generation of believers. You need to be doing that. You need to be looking for ways that you can serve in the children's ministry. Maybe becoming a children's teacher on Sunday morning, Wednesday nights. Maybe teaching a Bible study to the youth. You need to be intentional with your relationships, not just with those that are your same age, but also with the future generation as well. And get this, while statistics show that nearly two-thirds of college students are going to stop attending church at some point while in college. This same statistic and study shows that at least five or more adults that invest in a child early on are twice as likely to stay involved in the church as they grow up and mature. Parents, yes, you need to be teaching your child about the things of God. You need to be teaching them about the gospel on a daily basis. That is your greatest responsibility. But church family, it is also our responsibility as well. And some of you need to get engaged there. Some of you need to get involved there and serve either within your own family helping out or within this church family helping out. Thirdly, this psalm teaches us that God gives us our kids so that we can prepare them for His mission. God gives us our kids so that we can prepare them for His mission. Look again at what it says beginning in verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has filled his quiver with them. Let me ask you a question. What's the purpose of an arrow? What's the purpose of an arrow? It's to shoot it, right? It's to shoot. That's the purpose of an arrow, is to shoot it. You don't just look at an arrow. You actually are supposed to use an arrow. You're supposed to shoot an arrow. Listen, if that is true, then what we need to understand here is that Solomon, who was writing this psalm, is comparing children to arrows. Which means, watch this, we are to prepare our children so that they can be sent out to fulfill God's mission in their lives. We're to let them go. I'm going to tell you a story of a young missionary by the name of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a 23-year-old young man that was having a lot of success in the field of business, a lot of prospects there for him, but he began to have a call in his life to serve on the international mission field. And in particular, he felt called to go to the country of Ecuador. So at the very young age of 23, he left everything that he had ever known and he got on the plane to go do missionary work in Ecuador. And let me tell you, Jim was very gifted. He was very successful. God blessed his efforts. He saved many people. But 5 years into his ministry, he was martyred for his faith. He was killed on the beaches of Ecuador. What he was doing, he was trying to reach an unreached people group, an indigenous people group in Ecuador, and just in the jungles of Ecuador. And he was killed for his faith. Listen, that's really sad. That's really tragic. But I want you to listen to the note that he wrote to his parents. You can actually look this up and find it. Because this so pertains to what we're talking about here. This is the note that he wrote to his parents before he got on to Ecuador, before he was killed. He said, and I quote, "I do not wonder that you were saddened at the word of my going to South America. But remember how the psalmist described children? He said that they were a heritage from the Lord, and that every man should be happy who has his quiver full of them. And what is a quiver full of but arrows? And what are arrows for but to shoot? So with the strong arms of prayer, draw the bowstring back, Mom and Dad, and let the arrow fly, all of them, straight at the enemy's host." Parents, I want to ask you a very sobering question today. Honestly, you're probably not going to like it, but I want you to be honest. The question is this: why did God give you your children? Why did He do that? You ever thought about that? And be careful how you answer that question, because I assure you the answer is not so that they can play sports and so that they can be involved in activities and so that I can live vicariously through my child's life. That is not the answer. No, the reason why God gave you children is so that you can train them up and, like an arrow, you can shoot them out to fulfill God's mission in their lives. And listen, as powerful as an arrow can be when you put it on the string and when you draw it back, it is absolutely powerless when it is not let go. Do you understand what I'm saying, parents? You are your child's archer. You are your child's archer. They are the arrow. And I am convinced that God has big plans, big, huge plans for your child and the children of our church and next generation. But I'm here to tell you that there are many parents out there that simply will not let their child go. We live in such a safety-obsessed culture. And listen, some of that is good. I understand that. I believe that we need to make sure that we're doing things to keep our family safe. And I understand that. But I'm here to tell you today that the Christian life, the life that you and I are called to live as parents and just as a believer in general, the life that God has called us to live, it is a life that is designed to be filled with adventure. And ultimately, it is a life that is designed to be filled with risk. Trusting in God that He will take care of you as you go and live out the mission that He has called you to wherever it may take you. God never, never calls us to play it safe, parents. There's not going to be one verse that you're going to find in your Bibles that says, listen, this is the idea of family. You just live in a gated community, you live in a really nice home, and you just huddle up, you do things that are safe, and you just live in your Christian bubble until I'll call you home. You're not going to find that in the Bible, but let me tell you passages that you're going to find in the Bible all throughout it. Passages like Matthew 28:19 that say, go and make disciples of all nations. Shoot your arrow, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Passages like Acts 13:47 that say, I have made you a light for the Gentiles so that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth, wherever that may take you. And passages like Romans 10:15 that says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The church is God's plan A to advance His kingdom on this earth. And listen to me, parents, your children represent the next generation of believers that are called to live this mission out. So raise them accordingly, equip them, pull the bowstring back, and let them go, trusting in God will be with them. Church, I understand that what I'm preaching today might be practical, might be convicting. And listen, I also understand that the principles that I'm talking about today are extremely hard to live out. I understand that what I'm saying is just so easy to say, so hard to live out, especially for you parents. And listen, I totally get that. So as we close our time today, I want to give you just one more principle. Don't put away your notes. One more principle that I find in the Psalm. And parents, truly, I hope that this brings you comfort. I know that I've been a little hard maybe on you today. And listen, I'm being hard on myself, okay? I'm maybe stepping on your toes, but I'm back here just stepping on mine too. The principle is this, though. as it relates to godly parenting, really as it relates to what we've talked about here in this passage, the principle is this: God knows you need His help. As it relates to what God has called us to do in this psalm, which I know is very difficult, God also understands that you need His help. Look one last time at this passage in Psalm 127. We're going to begin in verse 1, but I want us to focus on verse 2 because we skipped it for a reason. It says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, He gives sleep to the one He loves." What is this sign in verse 2 that shows you that you're walking with and that you're beloved by God? What is the sign that He gives in verse 2? What is the sign? I'll give you a hint. It's one word. It starts with the letter S. Hey, say it with me. It's the word what? Sleep. It's the word sleep. And can I just say, from my view up here, some of you look like you are being very blessed by God right now. I promise you, I'm almost done, but listen, hold out, because this is so important. Okay? So important. Because if you're sleeping, watch this, if you're sleeping, who's watching over the city? If you're sleeping, who's growing the crops? The answer is that God is. And don't miss this, parents, because the principle that is being taught to you here is that if you faithfully do your job as a parent, then you can lay your head down on the pillow at the end of a very hard, draining day and go to sleep. Because you know that God is the one who watches over the city. You know that God is the one who grows the crops. And you know that God is the one that you can trust your child with when you sleep. Because you know that He's going to honor that commitment. He's going to honor what you are doing, that you are training up your child in the way that they should go, in a biblical way. And listen, He is going to deeply speak into their lives in a way that you never could. He's going to begin to transform your child from the inside out. He's going to honor you. And you're going to be able to sleep as a result. Parents, I know that parenting is so tough. And listen, the longer that I do it personally, the bigger that my family gets, the more I realize just the inadequacy, right, that I have as a parent, and that I don't have all the answers. I certainly don't. But listen, I'm here to tell you today, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Children are a blessing from God. This psalm reminds us that they are a heritage from the Lord. And listen, yes, while we as parents in a church body, we have a lot of responsibilities as we've learned today. Let us be reminded that our children are the future of our faith. Let us be reminded that our task is to equip them and to shoot them out like arrows so that they can fulfill the mission that God has instilled in their lives. And let us be reminded that at the end of the day, we can lay our head on the pillow at night and we can sleep, trusting that God is with our family, that God is watching over and protecting our family, and that He's going to honor the things that we are doing for Him to build His kingdom, not our own. Let's pray.